You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And a very warm welcome as well to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill. Host on this edition by myself, Bobby Beavers. And joining me is a man who's not joined me for a while here on the podcast. I'm sure that's just with how the rota has unfolded. Nothing to do with the fact he may have requested not to work with me at all. It's Tom Morley. Tom, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you, Bobby. I assure you, I haven't worked with anyone, so it's not just you.
I've not really seen you for a while, no.
Not been in, I don't know, it must be nearly a month.
Been busy?
Yeah.
So you've had quite a fair few runners on the all-weather track.
It's been a week or two since a winner, though, so I've got the shakes. I want withdrawal symptoms, need a winner somewhere. But with the turf literally around the corner now, hopefully a few more of them will get out and about and we can get cracking early.
Anything at Doncaster over the weekend?
Doncaster at the weekend. I think Hadaf and Raucus are entered for Sunday, but one of them will run at Kempton on Saturday, I think, and one probably will run at Doncaster on Sunday. I think Hadaf might run at Doncaster, at a guess, but having spent the whole day in the car so far, I've not seen the entries.
And just looking ahead to the summer in general, will you hopefully have a fair few runners throughout the summer months?
I hope so. Otherwise, they're very expensive pets. I'd like to think we'll have... I think we had 250-odd runners last year. I'd expect to have more than that this year, unless something goes wrong. So, yeah, I'll be busy watching the TV.
Absolutely brilliant. And, of course, the British turf season launched on Saturday at Doncaster, but the Irish flat turf season, that launched on Sunday at Naas for the Irish Lincolnshire, a cracking day's racing it was as well. And, Tom, it was a great day at the office for Jim Bolger and Kevin Manning.
Yeah, they got off the mark very quickly, didn't they? Absolutely flying with a treble there. Normandale, Western Dawn and Solar Wave, the one-eyed horse. Yeah, they've more than hit the ground running. I think a couple of the others didn't run badly either from them, so clearly they're well forward. Jessica Harrington got off the mark as well, didn't she, I think? And Caravan won the Irish Lincolnshire purchase again for it's Gaelic Bloodstock, isn't it, who bought that again. They have quite a few good horses, and funnily enough, both Stuart and I were discussing it this morning, and yeah, we wouldn't have bought that one. Well, we didn't buy it, but even going back at it, I wouldn't have bought it. So they've clearly picked one out there very nicely, because you know it's one of those horses that have come from a big yard. There's plenty of them that are actually nothing, but there's a few dotted around that probably do just need that bit more time, just a little bit more, I don't know, personal touch perhaps, rather than being one of 200. And they've picked up a good one. I mean, it sluiced up yesterday in the Lincolnshire, so I expect that will go on to better things, and well played to them.
Yeah, great performance yesterday in the Irish Lincolnshire. Right then, because this is the Tuesday edition of the Daily Racing Podcast, we always look at the Monday jury questions in the Racing Post. And as always, six questions I'm going to put forward to you, Tom. The first one says, here's one to ease you in. Please tell us who wins the Lincoln on Saturday.
Right. Well, now I haven't seen the entries, as I say, because I've been in the car. So obviously I don't know if any of the main ones have come out. I mean, Auxerre is the logical one, but whether you'd want to be going and backing Auxerre at the price it is now, you know, I feel like, no, I'm not an anti-post person, so I'd be a bit hypocritical of me to say you've missed it if you haven't backed it until now. It just wouldn't be my type of thing going in at such a short price in such a, if you like, a big handicap. That being said, generally you do need a group horse, or a horse that at least ends up being a group class later in the season, and Auxerre does probably look like it may well be that type of horse. So I can see why there's a lot of interest in that. I thought, assuming, as I say, to check the entries, but Humbert has got a new trainer, so I thought that would have a chance. Zweyen warmed up with a nice victory at Wolverhampton the other day. I know it carries a penalty for that, but, you know, I think that's a decent enough horse. I think if I was looking, Humbert and Zweyen would be two that I would be looking at a slightly bigger price, perhaps, than Auxerre, who does, I accept, seem to be the most logical winner.
Second question. The 8 Dubai races on Saturday are all priced up. Who stands out for you?
Who stands out for me? I've got to be honest, I'm not that into Dubai anymore, Maidan racing. I've had runners out there, and I think this is reflected, to be honest, across Britain. There's a lot less UK runners these days going out and participating in these races, partly because I'm not sure they need us really, so the incentives to go with the paying for a lot of the travel and stuff has been taken away, or certainly the board out there, they may still pay for the horse to go, but that's about it. So I don't tend to get as involved or into it as I used to when there were a lot of domestic runners that would attract the attention. I mean, I do see that, Blue Point in the Alquaz sprint. Obviously, I like sprints, and it's hard to see past Blue Point, to be honest. I don't think it's a particularly strong race, and he's a very good horse, but he's a very short price. The World Cup itself, I think Thunder Snow may well take that one back home as well. I mean, there's obviously some interest from Japan, amongst others, Arm and Eye in that race, but I've got to go something, I think, to beat Thunder Snow. But, I mean, I personally probably would be the most interested in the sprint, and therefore Blue Point, to see how well he does, because he's a horse who can transfer his form, you know, back to these shores in the summer potentially.
It's early days, but who are your Antipodes classic fancies at this stage?
Personally, I don't get involved in this type of thing at all, because I've got no idea what's been going on in the yards, or what's trained on and what's not going to train on, and so on, or what certainly are, you know, over in Ireland, Aidan O'Brien, who knows what, where and what and who and why is going to turn up. There might be some we've not even seen, but I mean, Too Darn Hot obviously does look a very good horse, and is an obvious one both for the 2000 and I'm sure, you know, after that, if that goes successfully, then the Derby. I do see that it's mentioned from one of the people asked in the Monday jury about the Rafe Beckett's Dancing Vega, and I'd agree. I don't know if anyone noticed, but Waverley Racing, I think it is, who owns Dancing Vega, they have got a number of very good Lope de Vega fillies. Only one of them, I think, hasn't won so far, and the rest all, I think there are four or five of them, won first time out. And that did look a really, really good horse. So that would be probably, at this moment, I sort of hope that one might do well, to be honest, rather than going and lumping on. But those two, further ahead, to the Oaks, are just pass on that at the moment. I'll leave that be. See what happens. You know, we've got the next month will be with all the trials. I'll wake up a bit more to, I think, the classics then.
Do you reckon Sylvester de Souza will win a fourth title, or will he be dethroned?
I think Oisin Murphy may well dethrone him this year. I mean, people who go looking at this market, you have to remember that the vast majority of the jockeys who have jobs, paid retainers, are not interested in winning this. They pick and choose their mounts. I mean, quite often in the past, I've heard people go on about people like Andrea Zaney. He's just not going to ride. He's not going to go and ride at some obscure part of the country to try and win it. He's got a great job, or had a great job, yeah, you know. And therefore, I think anyone who's got a retainer, I would pass straight over. Mm-hmm. And Oisin Murphy, although he obviously rides for Qatar Racing, he is prepared to put the miles in. He loves riding winners,
yeah,
whatever class they're in, and he has the support of a lot of trainers. He's good after the race with how to speak to people, and I think that will, you know, go a long way. And will Sylvester de Souza have the hunger, especially having gone over to Hong Kong and stuff? I think that's an eye-opening experience of what one can do. Mm-hmm. You know, and how much, to be honest, money you can make.
Yeah, I think Israel is saying as well, you've got to put the graft in, haven't you? And it's like on a Tuesday afternoon, you could be riding at somewhere like Sandown, for example, or at Epsom, and then of an evening, you need to go over to Kempton for another six more rides, or Chelmsford for six rides, etc. You know, and just keep totting up the winners, don't you?
Yeah, and I mean, you take even like the Epsom Dash. how many of the very, very top jockeys even ride in that? Because in racing, flat racing terms, I guess it's viewed as a slightly riskier race than some, because it's super quick and it's a full field and stuff, and it's just before a very important race. Can you imagine if you tweak something on a 33-1 shot in that and you can't ride for your retainer just afterwards? Not going to be popular. So yeah, I think I definitely think Oisin Murphy has a decent chance this time.
Give us an up-and-coming jockey and or trainer to follow this flat season.
Trainer is tricky because I without the horses, no trainer can train a winner. It is as simple as that. And there is no doubt that in this country, anyone who is brought up in the posh world of horse racing seems to be able to walk into some very decent owners. And therefore, they probably do better than perhaps someone who has to graft a little bit harder to get the owners. So I don't really know what you'd call an up and coming trainer anyway. I mean, what do you class? I see there's a competition being set up, isn't there? I think for trainers that have horse between 15 and 65 individual runners, there's going to be a prize for, I think, the best strike rate of those that someone's set up, which is an interesting concept and gives them something to aim for. Because it's very, you know, there's plenty of very decent trainers who don't have very many horses, and that's not their fault. So I'm going to swerve the trainer. I could quite happily say Stuart Williams and Robert Cow, but I'm not sure they necessarily would be classed as up and coming because they've been around for a bit and done all right. Jockeys, I think it will be an interesting season for Tom Marquand. I think he potentially could go a new level higher, hopefully starting to when he rides Miracle Works this week. Obviously, there's Jason Watson. I think Callum Rodriguez I quite like. But again, I don't know what up and coming is really what level we're sort of looking at. I know Stuart's got a new apprentice, rode his first winner ever last week on Lunar Deity, and actually looked quite tidy, to be honest. Might even consent to use him. But I think Tom Marquand could have a big year.
And the final question, following our greatest race courses series, what's your number one?
Well, I like David Simcox. First reply in the paper. I like Chelmsford. I like Chelmsford too. It's close, decent prize money, and my horses do well there.
Absolutely brilliant. Short and sweet, as I say, with the final question. And just before I let you go as well, Tom, can we have your selections, please, ahead of Tuesday afternoon's racing?
Yeah, naturally, I'm going to Wolverhampton for my two. 5 o'clock is the first one, mile 6 furlong, 0-65 handicap. And the selection there is the Alan King Gelding Tour de Paris, ridden by Tom Marquand. Probably did move to this yard, I suspect, to go hurdling after 3 goes. At that, they've returned him to the flat. Wasn't ever in contention at Kempton at the start of January, but he came to this track towards the end of February, and over this trip, things just clicked a lot better. Beat Geordie Ladd, who he plays against again today, and Geordie Ladd set the fractions, but this horse, Tour de Paris, quite comfortably went past and looked like one that would progress further and build on that. A few days ago, returned to Wolverhampton, beaten favourite coming second, but he met traffic and only gave best to Singing the Blues, who's a horse in Cracking Heart itself. I just think everything looks in place for another bold performance from Tour de Paris. Most of the opposition, to be honest, are not in the greatest form. I mean, I think Top Rock Tallulah, I suppose, is a bit of a chance, but didn't stay over 2 miles. Will it stay this trip? Not entirely sure. Geordie Ladd's got a bit of a weight reversal in its favour against Tour de Paris, but I just can't see why he's going to reverse the form. I think Tour de Paris beat him quite comfortably that last time. And Demophon, I mean, that came second at 50-1 last time, just not convinced he can back it up. And the rest, I haven't really got much nice things to say about it, so best say nothing.
And your second selection, please.
Well, I'll be hoping Tom Marquand gets a quick fire double because he rides my horse Miracle Works in the 5:30, and it was tempting to go for that, but I won't be so arrogant to do so. So we'll go to the 6 o'clock, the 1 mile, 1.5 furlong, 0-70 handicap, and we're going to go for the David O'Mara Gelding Zorawar. Good run of form, began in February, won here over a bit shorter, followed up days later in identical conditions. Did get a hike in the weights, but still looked, I thought, in good form at Chelmsford when second behind a Mick Appleby horse who's won again since. Disappointed possibly last time at Chelmsford, but then bounced back to show he was in good heart by coming second to a horse he was giving weight to in a classified claimer. That was a decent effort. Got another £3 rise, and it's not all rosy, but he's in good form. This trip is fine. He's back here at the all-weather course he's won at, and I, again, don't think the opposition, to be fair, is the strongest. You know, horses like Tangram, I thought, were quite useful at some point, but seem to have just lost their way a bit. I guess some of the main rivals are Movie Star. That would be one one I'd probably fear the most. Did okay in starts in Germany. I'm not going to pretend I know the form of the German races particularly well. Seems a pretty reasonable mark, though. Has been keen in races. Ends up staying on all starts. A bit of a mixed message regarding the trip there. €8,000 purchase in December. I think it'll be interesting to see what the market makes. A movie star. Good jockey booking too. Gets a first time hood. Perhaps that'll help us settle. But is got a wide draw. But that would be my main danger to my selection, which is Zorawar.
Great to work with you as always on the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, Tom. Thank you very much for your selections and your answers as well from the Monday jury. Do tune in to William Hill Racing Radio on a Tuesday afternoon. It's live from 1:50 p.m. Your team are Darren Owen, Sam Turner and Leona Mayer, and they will be taking you through all the action at Hereford, Hexham, Clonmel and Wolverhampton.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.